Grace and peace be multiplied to you by God our Father. Amen. Thus far this Easter season, Peter has taught us much about how God brings us to new life through faith. And by his own power, he keeps us in this living hope and salvation until Christ returns. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. Satan, the world, all the rage of the gates of hell can throw all they want against us, but they will not gain the smallest fraction, the slightest scratch, move the fairest hair on your head as you stand firm in the word of God. They know the only hope they have is to destroy your faith and thus your salvation, is to provoke and strengthen within you your own sinful flesh. But do not despair even at this. For whenever your own flesh sets itself against you and against Christ, Christ himself gives you his own spirit to continually renew your faith and strengthen the new life that he has given. Christ imparts his spirit to you through his word, that word that he gives each and every week through the proclamation of this pulpit, through the remembrance of your baptism at this font, through the very body and blood delivered to you in the bread and wine at this very altar. He also enlists the whole church, his body, to strengthen and support you as you endure and persist in your task of resisting temptations of the flesh and making Christ known to the world. It is more about these last two points that we hear from Peter today. Have no doubt about it, beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus. If you trust in Christ for the salvation of your soul, there is no question that salvation is yours and even everlasting life. But he does not give you this new life and eternal blessing so that you may sit idly by and do as you please. Having been born anew as a son or daughter of the Father, you are now to grow up to salvation. Think of it in this way. Even before a child is born, the parents have in their minds an image of who they would like that child to become. I'm not talking about professions or anything like that. I'm talking about the kind of person they want their child to grow into. Of course, all parents want their children to grow up to be healthy, well-rounded adults and enjoy life. Some want their children to be hard workers. Some want their children to have a heart for others. Some want their children to be free-spirited. Some want their children to be obedient. And from the moment that that child begins feeding on its mother's milk, the parents have already begun their work of molding and shaping that child into the image that they have set forth in their minds. The Father has set forth an image for you as well, the image of his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Spirit gives you the desire to become like Christ, for you have indeed tasted that the Lord is good in this goodness of the resurrection. And through him, you have been made holy and righteous, born anew through his word. As newborn infants long for their mother's milk so that they may grow healthy and strong, Christians long for the pure word of God, his word rightly taught, both his law and his gospel, so that we may continue to be formed by Christ's own holiness and righteousness by the Spirit working within. And the more you read his word, the more you long for it, the more you are formed by it, becoming an obedient child. You grow from one who knows right from wrong, to one who does right instead of wrong, to one who loves right rather than wrong. Because when you behold God's will for you, as summarized, for example, in the Ten Commandments, you begin to understand the good that God has intended for you all along and the love that He has toward you. For example, you see the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." And it begins to sink in that God's jealousy does not flow out of some divine narcissism. He is jealous not for His own sake, but for yours, as He Himself is the only source of life. And He desires that you have life and have it abundantly in His name. In the second commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God," you realize that He's not an insecure child who doesn't want people talking about Him behind His back. Instead, He wants people to know Him rightly so that He might make them a part of His own family and give to them all that they need, including Himself. The third, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And you understand that it is not out of some vainglory or a need to be worshipped, but because He desires to give you His gifts of love and mercy and rest. The same with the rest of the commandments. They lead you to comprehend all the earthly gifts that God has given you, such as a family and others to care for you, food and clothing and all the other things needed for this life, even contentment to be satisfied and filled with joy. And we begin to see how all of His commandments are given to us because of His desire laid out in the first, that we have life abundantly. And not only eternal life, but life here and now. And the desire springs up within us by the Holy Spirit to serve and obey that loving, good Father. For this love is expressed in its purest form as Christ Himself perfectly obeying the command of God for you was rejected by men so that you would not be rejected by the Father. And as we learn to obey these commands, not only do we receive the life that God has given, but we also become ministers to the world. After all, Peter says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This is no minor part of our lives. The major task of priests is to offer the sacrifices. While the Old Testament priests were to offer the bloody sacrifices to God, which point to that one-for-all sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the sacrifice that is the responsibility of this new priesthood is of joyful obedience to the Father, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So our first sacrifice is one of praise. Praise the fruit of the lips that confess His name. Christians are called to gather together, not a couple times a year, not every once every 4 to 6 weeks. Christians are called to gather together every single week to receive the gifts of God through His word. Not only that written word, but also His proclaimed word, and His word given in the bread and wine become His body and blood as well. Participation in the supper itself is a proclamation of the crucified and risen Christ. And we are to receive it often, as it gives us the very grace accomplished for us on the cross, so that we may be strengthened to resist temptation and shine His light in the darkened world. Removing yourself from the Lord's Supper is worse for you than if you were to never eat again. No excuse is worthy. These gifts from God then overflow into obedience as we are formed by that word to love God and to love one another. We do this by proclaiming Christ in word and deed. We not only seek to keep our mouths pure by letting no unholy or unrighteous talk spill forth, but we also can't help but tell of the love of Christ and what he has done for us and for the world to others. And there are so many wonderful ways we can do this. We can invite people to church with us. We can invite them to Sunday school or Bible study or midweek class or youth group. We can bring them one of our many portals of prayer that, let's face it, simply are collecting dust in the narthex. We can invite them into our own dinner tables and share God's love with them as part of our family. And in our homes, we can create a family altar at which we read God's word together, we study it together, we pray together, and we participate in it together. And all the while, we seek to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, to encourage and support our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be good citizens and neighbors by bringing Christ to the world, by imaging Christ to them, by setting aside our own comfort and desires to serve in sacrifice, that they may know of him who set aside his very life, that they might have life abundantly, both here and forevermore. May we not be given this new life to Christ in vain, to sit idly by and do nothing, but may we always and ever seek to grow up to salvation, knowing and tasting that the Lord is good. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.